We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
You have made it again through another week. We are now at Friday. I hope that you have your sights set on church this weekend, that you've already made plans, that you have committed yourself, that you are going to be in the house of God. You are preparing yourself before you get there, that when you show up, you are going to be bringing your best. You're not just going to be dragging in, you know, just barely having survived the week, but you recognize what a privilege it is that we have here in America, that we can gather together freely as believers, and that, you know, come Saturday night, you'll make sure you're in bed and well rested so that you can get up Sunday morning and you can worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. I just pray that that this weekend you will position yourself for the supernatural presence of Almighty God. I want to encourage you to, if you do not have a church home, to come visit us. 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, about two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. If you know where the Popeyes is, we're not too far back in that neighborhood. We're two blocks west of Pizza Hut, just to give you some landmarks there. We're also two blocks north of what's it called, Tires Plus, on Parnell. So if you do not have a church home, we'd love to have you come out, be a part of our services Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30, and let's see what God will do in our midst. So let's get right into the Word today. We're in Luke chapter 8. Again, this is a message I preached a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, at our church, but here on the radio, I am able to take a little bit more time and touch on a few more things than what I was able to touch on during that one message. So, yesterday we started reading in verse number 40, and it says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" I'm going to stop the reading there today because we're not going to get all the way into the latter part. But yesterday on the broadcast, we had started talking about how Jesus had returned after having driven the demons out of a man on the other side of the sea. And they were intimidated by that kind of power, and you know, all of their pigs had just died, and so they asked him to leave that region. And so when people on the other side, they said, "Look, we're not going to drive him out, we're going to welcome him." And and that's the type of attitude that I want to have. So there were all sorts of people who were waiting for him, and there was a man by the name of Jairus, And he said, I've got a little girl at home. She's dying. She's 12 years old. She's my only daughter. And even though I may not understand everything, Jesus is able to do things that no one else can do. And so he came to Jesus and begged him, it says, to come to his house and minister to his little girl. And so that's where we're going to pick up today. You know, it's amazing. There are parents. They will do things for their kids that ordinarily they wouldn't do. And so today I just want to encourage you, like I did on yesterday's broadcast, live for Jesus for your kids' sake. Live for Jesus for your kids' sake. And it says, but as he went, and so what had happened when Jairus came, Jesus started on the journey with Jairus to his house. Jesus started on the journey. Now, I will tell you this, that I've looked at this story is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. It is recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And in not one of these three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, where this story is told, not one time does it ever indicate that there is any communication that has taken place. Now there could have been, and it just didn't get recorded. But there, it doesn't sound as if there's a lot of small talk that is taking place. But Jesus is with Jairus on the journey to his miracle. Okay, so they begin the journey. Jesus and Jairus are walking together. They're on the way to Jairus' house for Jairus' miracle. And I just want to share with you right now that if you have asked Jesus to come into your life, to come into your world, that he is on the journey with you. He's on the journey with you to your house, to your job. He's on your journey to your next assignment at work. He's on the journey with you when you are going through the routines of life. He is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He's not just with us when we come to church on Sunday morning, but he is with us everywhere we go. Let me ask you this question. If we really embraced the concept that Jesus is with us all the time, whether we can see him or not, would that change your behavior at times? Would it change my behavior at times? Would say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this. You see, a lot of times when I was out playing golf, I haven't played golf now for 5 months. Something I really miss. In fact, this week I was supposed to have originally played at TPC Sawgrass right after the professionals played. Their tournament ended this last weekend, and I was supposed to have been up there to play golf on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I had to cancel out of the golf tournament because I just could not. My eyesight just is not where I feel comfortable trying to play golf at this point in time. Believing that it's coming, later today I'll be finding out an update, and I'm expecting to hear a good report. But that's something I'm just not doing. But would it change our behavior if we knew that if Jesus was with us, that it would change the way that we act? What I was going to tell you is when I was playing golf, a lot of times I would go out just whenever I got an opportunity. In other words, I didn't want to necessarily take my whole day off, but if I was able to accomplish the task that I set out and I had a little bit of free time, then I would just run out to the golf course and play golf. And I find it very relaxing, challenging, relaxing, enjoyable, frustrating. It's all of those things. And so when I would go out, they would oftentimes partner me with people that I did not know. And some people wouldn't like that. They want to be around people that they know all the time. But I kind of enjoy just going out and interacting with people and them not know who I am. And when I go out, I always take an interest in them. You know, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? You know, what do you do? Are you down here on vacation and all of those, that sort of stuff. And, I just like to interact with people. I'm a people person. I really am. I like people. I like to observe people. I find watching, people in public places and the things that they do, you know, I used to work in retail and when it was slow, I would just go and stand at the entrance of the store. You know, all my work would be done. Everything would be clean. And I just watch people because I find people fascinating. And so when I'm on the golf course, I just interact with people. And most of the time, not always, there have been a few exceptions where, you know, even though I asked people about them, they never got around to asking anything about me. And what happens a lot of times is people say, oh, well, what are you from here? And I said, yeah, I live on Merritt Island. And they said, oh, well, what are you doing? Well, I pastor a church. And you would be amazed at the number of times that people just kind of get stuck there for just a moment as they comprehend, and they're replaying in their mind all of the things that have gone on leading up to that point. And you know, I don't do that to be a gotcha moment, but you know, there's something inside people, and they're saying, "Wait, you mean I've been playing golf with the pastor? Have I embarrassed myself?" And so, you know, every once in a while, somebody will say a word will come out and say, "Oh, pastor, I'm sorry, I really shouldn't say that." And I said, "Look, you know, it's not me you got to be concerned about. You see, it's not the pastor, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. As Jesus is journeying with you on the road, would you say the same words that you say? Would you look at the same things that you look at? Would you do the same things that you do? If you knew that Jesus was right there," I remember being in a service at the Brownsville Revival back in the 1990s, and Steve Hill, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and he was preaching, and he, you know, would just take a camera and he would take pictures, and it wasn't a digital camera, it was just an old-fashioned camera, and the flash would go off and all of that sort of stuff, and he would remind people that God knows everything that we do. And in fact, it says in the word that he knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows what we do, why we do it. He knows what we're thinking. And he says, so there are a lot of people, and you read about it in Israel. He said, Israel would go up onto a mountaintop and they would hide under a tree, and they thought that God would not be able to see what they were doing. They were ashamed of their practice. And so they would try and hide it. They would do it at dark underneath a tree. And let me just tell you this. You can shut off all the lights in your house, pull all the blinds, and lock all of the doors, and God still knows what's going on in your life because he's on the journey with you. And so I just want to ask you today, if we were fully cognizant of the fact that the presence of Jesus was with us, would it change our behavior? And if it would, I just encourage you to go ahead and make those changes now, because Jesus' presence is a reality. So, good news for you today is that Jesus is on the journey with you. He is going with you because he wants to bring that miracle into your life. He wants to bring transformation to your home. He wants to touch your kids. He wants to touch your family. And so Jesus is going along, and there's not any recorded dialogue. I call this the silent period of the journey. The silent period of the journey. And I want you to know that God is just not active when he is speaking, but he is active even when we do not sense a spoken word coming from him on our behalf at this point in time. God is God even during the silence. And so today I would like to encourage you to adopt this mindset that if you are or have asked Jesus to join you on your life journey, to be confident that he is walking with you towards that miraculous goal that he is going to bring about in your life, even when we don't hear him talking. He is God, even in the silence. I worked for a pastor one time, and there was a bit of an oddity that happened in our service that day. And so he and I were discussing it after the service. It wasn't something that I did that was weird. I've done a lot of weird things through the time, but this was not anything weird that I'd, we were simply discussing what had taken place. And he asked me, I was a very young minister. He said, "So did you notice how I responded to that situation?" And I can still duplicate it for you. After that situation had occurred in the service, he immediately went to the pulpit, and he stood there, and he threw his shoulders back, and he looked to the left side of the sanctuary, and he looked from the front to the back, and then he moved to the middle section, and he looked from the back to the front, and he went to the right section, and he looked from the left to the front, and then he got back, and he looked forward once again, and he bobbled his head forward, and then he moved on with the service. And so we were discussing that afterwards, and he said, "So did you notice what I did?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I did." And I described it to him, and he said, "You can say a lot without saying anything. You can say a lot without saying anything." And what he had just communicated to the congregation is, "I'm aware of the things that have just taken place. I'm going to handle it. I'm not going to address it in a public manner." And he said, "My silence conveyed a whole lot to the people who were there." Listen, you may be around some people, and they may not do a lot of talking, but they may do a lot of listening. And I do believe this, that prayer with God is a two-way form of communication. It is not a monologue. This radio program is a monologue. Maybe one day they'll invent some technology, and I will bring it in here, and we'll plug it in, and I'll have my own amen button. I'll be able to punch it and get people to say amen to the things that I say on the radio. That would be awesome. But right now it's just me doing talking. But even when I'm speaking, my ear is also listening and saying, "God, is there somebody that's listening right now that this is a critical moment for them and they need to hear a word from you? I can't hear what you are communicating, but I can still have an ear tuned to God." And so I just want to encourage you that when you are praying, that you spend some time laying out your praise and your worship to God and your petitions before him, but you also set aside some time for listening. But if you're not hearing anything from God, please do not think that he has forgotten you. Please do not think that he is ignoring you. Don't think that he has you up on the shelf. God is working behind the scenes. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was not exactly welcomed with wide open arms. I mean, even the man who went and prayed for him, Ananias, went and prayed for him, and his eyesight was healed. Ananias had to be convinced by God to go in and even pray for Paul. And then after Paul went, you know, the people still, you know, didn't fully get him involved. I believe it was 14 years that Paul was Saul of Tarsus. He was there. He was active in the body of Christ because Barnabas knew right where to find him. But he had kind of sat on the sidelines for all of those length of time. What do you suppose that God was doing during that time? Do you think that Paul was saying, "You know, I was very prominent in the Jewish circles, and now that I've given my heart to Jesus, I'm just kind of on the sidelines, and I'm not very active"? Or do you think that God was preparing him for all of the things that Paul was going to endure? The shipwrecks, the persecutions, the being beaten with rods, the being whipped, the being arrested, being falsely accused, being thrown to wild beasts, being stoned, and then being raised up from the dead, being on the way to Rome as a prisoner and being in the midst of a storm and still being able to hear from God, spending night and day in the sea because the boat had capsized, being bitten by a snake and a poisonous viper and not succumbing to that. Listen, God may be just journeying with you for a season to intensify and prepare you and get you and I equipped for the supernatural activities that he is going to do, the miracles, the healings, the letters that you will write, the messages that you will preach, the lives that you will touch. God does a lot in the silent times, in the silent periods. He is God over the silence. But please do not think that he has abandoned you, because he has promised you he will never abandon you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. In fact, what God promises in his word is he says, for the widows and the orphans, those who have been left on their own by natural catastrophes, people who've been who've died prematurely, he said, I'm going to watch over. I'm going to be a husband to the widow, and I'm going to be a father to the fatherless. God says, those people who don't have any natural resources, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be their supernatural supply. God says, In fact, Jesus said this, I'm returning to the Father, listen, and I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, so that you will have the supernatural presence of God with you all the time. God is with you on your journey. Right now, no matter what project you're facing at work, God is with you on that project. I have a friend, a dear friend, precious man of God, one of just a wonderful, wonderful brother in Christ. And he is convinced that God goes with him to work. And he says, whenever I'm at work and I'm finding a challenge that am not being able to accomplish, I'm not achieving it through all of the normal training and expertise that I've employed before, I've not been able to track down the problem. He says, what I will do in that situation is I will excuse myself from that assignment, and I will go and find myself a place of prayer, and I will pray and say, God, I need your help. In order for me to be excellent in my job, I need you to help me to achieve my goal. And he said, you would be amazed at the number of times that after I go and pray that I come back and I achieve the result. I've got another man that really inspires me and challenges me in my faith to believe God for even greater things. And he's always praying, God, I believe that this is what you want in this purpose. And God, I need you. I need you in this area of my life. God will not abandon you. Wouldn't it be awesome if we said, God, we want you more active in our everyday life, not just our church life. I pray that Christians would not fall to the trap that society has set for us about living compartmentalized lives, where we put Jesus in his Sunday box and we put everything else in different boxes. Jesus cannot be contained in a box. The entire universe cannot contain him. I believe that God is looking for a people that will have him dwell in their midst and be involved in every aspect of their life. I just truly, truly believe that. Today, It may have been a while since you heard an encouraging report. It may have been a while since you heard a bit of good news. And, you know, I want you to know you're not alone in that. The other day, I was driving down the road, and every once in a while, I just do a test on my left eye that I had the detached retina on. I do a test, and I just briefly close the other eye and look around. And as I do that, I'm doing it right now as I'm talking. I have full range of vision. I can see I can see the lights. I can see, but everything is still a little cloudy, still a little distorted. And you know, we're now over, let's see, February, March, April. We're now into our fourth month of recovery from the retina being reattached. And I believe that God has given me a promise, and that is that the very first night after the diagnosis, God promised me, you will see clearly in that eye again. It came in the middle of the night. It wasn't something I was looking for. I was actually just listening to the Word of God, and in the middle of the night, I woke to that promise. And I was driving down the road, and it's been a while since, you know, it's been 2 months since I've been to the optometrist to get an update. And so I've not heard a bit of news. And when I looked, and I couldn't see any real noticeable improvement. I had this first, it's first time this thought's come to me. It's like, God, I just really don't know if it's going to get any better. And immediately, upon that thought completing itself, I responded and I said, no, that is not the promise that God has given me. God has given me a promise that I would see clearly. And even though I'm not hearing anything right now, I'm still believing that God is with me on this journey. And He is not just the God of the beginning. He is the God of the end as well. And I took that thought captive right then. I said, I'm not going to allow that. And so if you think that you're the only person that ever gets discouraged during silent times or because you haven't heard anything, I want you to know that's not the case. But I encourage you to know that God is on the journey with you. And even though you might not have a word that you've heard from Him fresh today, let that last word that you heard stand. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. That person that asked me a few weeks ago, do you still believe that Jesus is coming again? Yes, I do. I believe it because you said it and you don't change your mind. And God, right now, for anybody who's got you on the journey, and Lord, they need you to act, and they haven't heard anything from you in a while, God, I pray that you would reassure them. You are with them, and you will not forsake them. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Make it to church on Sunday. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming, Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.